Good afternoon, it's 4:30 and 59 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Jonathan Burton.
We have taken a lot of extra precautions, and we use a really good cleaning agent.
The Rowan County School District is prepared for a possible coronavirus outbreak.
A statewide tornado drill will take place tomorrow morning.
Lexington officials have confirmed a fifth case of flu death.
Moorhead police are accepting applications for new officers.
A bill has advanced that would criminalize online harassment.
The Bluegrass has a shortage of sexual assault nurses.
Lexington police are investigating a string of shootings over the weekend.
In sports, Rowan County's girls tip off in the 16th regional tournament tonight at Moorhead State.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Mostly clear skies tonight with a low around 33. We'll have a look at your region's extended forecast after this news.
The Rowan County School District is prepared for the possibility of the spread of coronavirus in the region. No cases have so far been reported in Kentucky, but many school districts are putting plans in place in case it does happen. Rowan Superintendent John Maxey says the precautions the school takes to prevent flu are the same as those used to prevent the coronavirus.
You know, we're getting emails on a regular basis from our emergency management people and our local health department, so we're staying abreast of the situation. We're, proceeding with caution and trying to educate ourselves so that we're prepared for it, but we're not concerned about it at the same time. I don't feel like there's any immediate concern or danger or anything like that.
Rowan County is one of the only school districts in the region that has not had to close during flu season. Maxey attributes that to the disinfectant used in the classrooms each afternoon.
Kentucky health officials are promising a robust response to a potential outbreak of the coronavirus and dispensing advice for avoiding the illness. But following these recommendations isn't always as simple as it sounds. State officials can't stress it enough. Wash your hands, get the flu shot, and don't go to work sick. For many Kentuckians, that last bit is easier said than done. That's because, according to Jason Bailey with the Kentucky Center for Economic Policy, the Commonwealth is among the worst regions in the nation when it comes to access to paid sick days, and many of those workers without paid time off work in service industries.
Think about restaurants, if you think about child care centers, if you think about home health aides, are people who have contact with lots of people. And so their inability to take a day off when they're sick just enables the spread of diseases and conditions that puts us at greater risk.
The analyst warns a reversal in the state's downward trend of uninsured in the last 4 years is another factor that could hamper efforts to slow or prevent the spread of the disease.
On Tuesday, health officials in Fayette County confirmed Lexington's fifth flu-related death. Two of the other victims were over 50 years old, one was in her 30s, and the last was a child under a year old. Health department officials stressed the importance of getting a flu shot, especially for vulnerable populations such as children, the elderly, or people with underlying medical conditions.
Kroger is capping the amount of cold medicine and sanitizers you can buy. Here is KNN's Will Clark.
The action comes as demand increases for products related to coronavirus. The Cincinnati-based company putting a notice on its website saying, due to high demand and to support all customers, they'll be limiting the number of sanitization and cold and flu-related products to 5 each per order. And the order may be modified at the time of pickup or delivery. The new limitations seem to only apply to online sales, and it's not clear if they'll apply to in-store purchases. Kroger has become one of the first chains in the nation to limit sales on those items. I'm Will Clark.
A statewide tornado drill will occur at approximately 10:07 a.m. tomorrow morning. Across Kentucky, outdoor warning sirens will sound, weather alert radios will activate, and television and radio stations will broadcast the alert along with mobile devices. Rowan County Emergency Management Director Jim Hampton says the county wants to support the drill.
We're going to have a lot of activations. Our round alert is going to go off. People are going to get phone calls. They should get alerts on their phone. Weather radio should have the announcement. And the siren in town will go off.
Hampton hopes residents will use the drill as an opportunity to talk about severe weather safety at work and at home.
The Moorhead Police Department is looking for new officers to fill three vacant positions with the force. The State Police Force of Kentucky requires department hopefuls to be at least 21 years of age and have a high school diploma or GED. Chief Derek Blevins says the department is open to hiring both trained and untrained police officers.
Of course, you know, if somebody's already certified, then it speeds up the process as far as getting somebody out on the street faster. Because right now it takes, about a year. By the time we hire somebody, send them to the academy, get them back, put them through our field training, which is 3 months long, it's right at a year before we can have them out on the street covering a shift working.
To apply, visit the Moorhead Police Station at 105 East Main Street in Moorhead.
A wildlife education center in Frankfort reopened for the season today. WMKY's Michael Green has the story.
The Kentucky Department of Fish and Wildlife Resources operate the Salado Wildlife Center with the goal of educating people about the state's fishing and hunting opportunities, as well as the native wildlife. Visitors at Salado are able to view both indoor and outdoor exhibits that feature a variety of wildlife, including deer, bison, and even a bear. Educational programs use this collection of animals to teach feedings and what to do when encountering wildlife. The hours of operation are Tuesday and Friday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Saturday from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Admission is $5 for adults, $3 for ages 5 to 18, and visitors younger than 5 are admitted for free. To learn more about the Salado Wildlife Center, visit their Facebook page. For WMKY News, I'm Michael Green.
We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Moorhead State University. The Wilson Bowling Lanes in the Laughlin Building are open to the public for birthday parties, youth groups, by the hour or per game pricing. Cosmic Bowling features disco and black lights, open Tuesday through Saturday from 5 to 9 p.m. For more information and reservations, the phone number is 606-776-3457.
Governor Andy Beshear visited Eastern Kentucky Monday morning to announce more than $2 million in grants to Pikeville, Whitesburg, and Floyd County. The city of Pikeville received a $500,000 Appalachian Regional Commission grant for a project Healthcare Employment Around Resource Training, or HEART Training. The money will be used to build a learning environment to educate high school students about careers in healthcare. Beshear says healthcare is going to be an economic catalyst in Eastern Kentucky.
Addressing challenges facing some of our most important employers in Eastern Kentucky, and that's our healthcare industry. Healthcare is one of the ways that we are going to rebuild the economy in Eastern Kentucky.
$42,000 was also awarded for flood damage repairs on Bridge Loop, where Cowan Creek washed away major portions of the stream bank and damaged the pavement.
A new bill passed the Kentucky Senate yesterday that would criminalize a type of online harassment. WKYT reports Senate Bill 182 would make it a crime for someone to use the internet to intentionally spread identifying information about a minor with the intent to intimidate, abuse, threaten, harass, or frighten that person. Spreading that information would be a misdemeanor, but could be a felony if physical harm, monetary loss, or death resulted in the action. This type of cyber behavior is typically called doxing and is defined as the act of publicly identifying or publishing private information about someone, especially as a form of punishment or revenge. Republican Senator Christian McDaniel of Taylor's Mill said it was time for the state to criminalize the type of online harassment after it happened to a Northern Kentucky high school student following the posting of a video of him with a Native American protester in Washington, D.C. Senate Bill 182 will now go to the House for its consideration.
A bill designed to make information about a state-sponsored group term life insurance option more readily available to Kentucky National Guard members has passed the Kentucky House. WMKY's Nacogdoches Miller has the story.
House Bill 315 would require the Kentucky Adjutant General, who is the commander of soldiers and airmen in the Kentucky Army and Air National Guard, and the governor's chief military advisor to oversee efforts to make the National Guard Association of Kentucky Group Term Life Insurance Program available to all Kentucky National Guard members. The insurance program currently allows service members to purchase up to $50,000 in coverage for around $3.50 in premiums per every $10,000 in coverage. But the association's ability to provide information about the program to members of the Kentucky Guard is restricted, according to House Bill 315 sponsor Representative Nancy Tate. House Bill 315 would help more service members learn about the benefit through involvement of the Adjutant General, who would provide opportunities for Kentucky National Guard members to enroll in and upgrade life insurance, receive program briefings during trainings and drills, among other provisions. House Bill 315 passed the House by a vote of 93-0 and now goes to the Senate for consideration. For WMKY News, I'm Nacogdoches Miller.
Governor Andy Beshear says Kentucky lawmakers need to call a vote on a bill that he says will help nearly 2 million Kentuckians with their health insurance coverage. Beshear says House Bill 21 would prevent health insurance companies from denying coverage for pre-existing conditions. The bill was filed partly in response to the possible repeal of the Affordable Care Act by the U.S. Supreme Court later this year. The bill is sponsored by Representative Patty Minter, a Democrat from Bowling Green, but it has 38 co-sponsors. Beshear says there are 1.8 million Kentuckians with pre-existing conditions. Right now, the bill has not been called for a vote in the House Banking and Insurance Committee. Beshear says the bill applies to both private and public insurance plans that cover more than 265,000 public employees, educators, and pre-65 retirees.
Charles Booker on Monday endorsed Bernie Sanders for president, creating a sharp contrast with a leading rival in the race for the Democratic nomination for a U.S. Senate seat in Kentucky. Booker described Sanders, a Democratic socialist from Vermont, as the candidate with the best ideas and best chance of defeating Republican President Donald Trump. Another Kentucky Democratic candidate, Amy McGrath, endorsed Joe Biden for president in late January. McGrath, a retired Marine combat aviator, described the former vice president as someone who can return honor and integrity to the Oval Office. McGrath and Booker are among several Democrats seeking their party's nomination in the May primary to challenge Republican Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell in the November election. Booker, a state representative from Louisville, said he was joining Sanders' bold populist movement. The competing endorsements reflect the contrast facing Kentucky Democrats in choosing a Senate nominee and for Democrats nationally in picking a candidate to challenge Trump.
Kentucky has a shortage of nurses that can provide care and collect important evidence for the victims of sexual assault and rape. Sexual assault nurse examiners, or SANEs, are forensically trained professionals that have the ability to see these victims. In Kentucky, a person has the right to walk into a hospital and ask for a sexual assault examination. Of Kentucky's 78 hospitals with emergency rooms, only 7 of them are SANE ready. Eileen Richtenwald is the executive director of the Kentucky Association of Sexual Assault Programs in Frankfort. She tells LEX 18 the reason for the shortage comes from not knowing the facts.
A lot of people never even heard of a SANE, even hospitals haven't. They don't teach it in nursing school or medical school. I think that folks don't really realize how much sexual assault happens.
LifePoint Health reports 5 SANE nurses who cover 4 counties, while Ephraim McDowell has 1 nurse that covers 3 hospitals. Medical professionals are encouraged to sign up for SANE training.
Lexington police are looking for information after responding to 3 shootings hours apart over the weekend in Lexington. The first shooting occurred around 10:30 p.m. on Saturday night at Elverton Road near Russell Cave Road. Police say someone shot into a home and hit a man who was taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. A few hours later, the second shooting took place around 2:30 in the morning on Sunday near the corner of Jersey and Winslow Streets. LEX 18 reports the victim arrived at the hospital a little while later with serious injuries. Police were called to the scene of a third shooting Sunday evening around 4:40 p.m. Officers reportedly found one person with a gunshot wound who was taken to University of Kentucky Hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. So far, no arrests have been made, and police have released no information on the suspects in the case.
Sheena Baxter's family is mourning her death after investigators confirmed her body was found last week inside a storage facility in Richmond. According to WKYT, Baxter went missing on Valentine's Day. A grand jury indicted Baxter's ex-boyfriend, Joseph Hicks, for her murder on Tuesday. During a press conference, police said they had overwhelming amounts of evidence linking Hicks to the homicide. Baxter's sister, Krista Crumley, says the last memory she has of Baxter is her pulling off in a car.
It's my dad's car. We've been driving it. That's the transportation we've got. Is it hard getting in and out of that car? Yeah, it is. It's very hard.
Baxter's family says they're starting to make funeral arrangements. Hicks was arraigned on Monday.
Taking a look at your region's weather. This afternoon, a 20% chance of isolated showers, mostly sunny with a steady temperature around 58. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 36. Wednesday, sunny with a high near 60. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 34. Thursday, a 20% chance of rain, mostly cloudy with a high near 55. Thursday night, a 30% chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a low around 36. Friday, a 30% chance of rain and snow showers, mostly cloudy with a high near 45.
Taking a look at current temperatures around the region, it's 59 degrees over in Lexington, 58 degrees in Winchester and Mount Sterling. It's 62 in Ashland, 61 in Grayson, 63 in Inez, and here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University, it's 59 degrees. Morehead State Public Radio's spring fundraiser and membership drive is here. Becoming a new member with a gift of just $25 or renew your membership on our website at wmky.org. Or you can take a moment to give us a call. 606-783-2001 is the number to call. All the money that we raise during the spring fundraiser will be going towards local programming and for our student work studies. It's really important for us to have the opportunity to give these students the option of taking learning time while they're working on their degrees. They can also get professional hands-on experience right here in the newsroom in Breckenridge Hall. I'm here right now with one of our students who just started with us in August, Jonathan Burton. Jonathan, I hate to put you on the spot, but I do this to everybody during Fun Drive Week. Tell me a little bit about why it's so important to you personally to work here at WMKY.
Well, when I come here every other day to work, it doesn't feel like a job to me anymore. It feels like I'm coming in here with people who actually care about me as a person and my education. When I first came here back in August, I was bright-eyed. I was terrified of even just going to the mic and recording something. I remember the first time we recorded Mountain Edition Live, and I felt like I was going to blow chunks everywhere. But now, it's just like it feels natural to me. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important for students like me, freshmen, especially in Convergent Media, where you get your hands-on experience, whether it be radio or television or even like print. And I think it's really important that you jump over that like ravine, like that fear, get over that fear of doing something hands-on that you've never done before. And of course, being paid as well is really nice. It's really excellent to have an internship or some kind of hands-on experience while also doing our degrees, because it's going to be quite a while and I'm going to enjoy every bit of the journey, especially when I deal with it with everyone in this office.
Well, we appreciate that you're here and we're glad that you're enjoying your time here. I think it's really important to get the students in when they're very early in their educational journey, because they may come in thinking that they want to be in journalism and then they work here for a semester and go, you know what? I don't think I want to do this. And then we have other students who come in and maybe they don't even know what they want to major in. They're just taking some general education courses and they go, you know what? This is for me. That's what happened to me as a student. And we hope to continue to give those opportunities to other students as they come along. If you think that's important, please give us a call right now. Help us support these students in their learning journey. 606-783-2001 is the number to call, or online at WMKY.com. www.moorheadstate.org. It's currently 449 and 59 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Moorhead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host and news director, Leanne Akers. Again, we're here with Jonathan Burton and Cody Robinson, live from the Larry Netherton studio right here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Thank you so much for joining us on this lovely Tuesday afternoon. Ty Martin has a look at sports right after this timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from Ruta Baker's Bakery and Cafe, across from St. Clair Healthcare on Flemingsburg Road in Moorhead. Ruta Baker's has made-from-scratch cakes, pies and cookies, scones, braids and muffins. Lunch menu features sandwiches, soups and salads. Ruta Baker's Bakery and Cafe is open Tuesday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Takeout orders and lunch reservations at 780-4282 or online at rutabakers.com.
The Vikings and the Kittens square off tonight in Moorhead. For WMKY Sports, I'm Todd Martin. The Round County girls basketball team will meet Ashland Blazer tonight in the first round of the 16th regional tournament. The 21-10 Vikings fell to Ashland during the regular season. The Kittens currently stand at 20-10 on their season. Round head coach Matt Stokes says the regional title could go to any team.
Our tournament, no matter how you looked at it, you know, we've had people tell us that the Ashland draw first game is a tough draw and it's going to be hard on us, but you're going to have to play three really good games to win this tournament. You know, it doesn't matter really who you draw, first round, second round, whatever. You're just going to have to be ready to play.
Tip-off tonight at Moorhead State's Johnson Arena is set for 6:30 p.m. Russell and East Carter will meet tonight at 8 for the final first round game of the tournament. The Red Devils took down the Lady Raiders during regular season action and currently are holding the number 2 spot in the 16th region, according to the Kentucky High School Athletic Association. Tip-off in that game is set for 8 p.m. First-round winners will advance to Friday night's semifinal games. West Carter is set to face off with Boyd County in the 6:30 semifinal game. For the first time this season, Moorhead State baseball faces a midweek contest, traveling across the Commonwealth to face a nationally ranked opponent. The Eagles are on the field now at third-ranked Louisville to take on a Cardinal program who is 8-3 on the season and winners of 7 straight. Tuesday's midweek marks a return to action for Moorhead State following its first home series of the year, dropping 2 of the 3 games to Southern Illinois. The Eagles enter the first midweek matchup of the year, having strung together 3 consecutive games, recording double-figure strikeouts, racking up 10 or more strikeouts in 8 of 10 games this season. With 105 strikeouts on the year, Moorhead State ranks 2nd in the Ohio Valley Conference in total strikeouts and strikeouts per 9 innings, while leading the conference in strikeout-to-walk ratio. The game is live now on ACC Network, Extra, and the Eagles Sports Network. After combining for 40 points in Moorhead State women's basketball's final 2 games of the 2019-2020 season, junior guard Jasmine Elston has earned Ohio Valley Conference Co-Newcomer of the Week honors. WMKY's Joe Lewis has more.
Elston, who transferred to Moorhead State after playing her freshman and sophomore seasons at State Fair in Missouri, scored 21 points in a loss at Austin Peay on Thursday before racking up 19 in a defeat at Eastern Kentucky on Saturday. The 5'9" Rossville, Georgia native led the Eagles in scoring during both contests as she knocked down 15 of 31 shots from the field and 5 of 15 from the three-point line. Elston, now a 2-time OVC Newcomer of the Week recipient after previously earning the honor on January 21st, finished her junior season as the team's leading scorer, averaging 11.7 points in 27 games. In OVC play, Elston's 13.5 points per game placed her at 8th on the league's scoring leaderboard.
After finishing with a 10-6 record in SEC play, number 15 Kentucky has earned number 3 overall seed in the SEC Women's Tournament in Greenville, South Carolina. According to WKYC, the Wildcats will receive a double bye and play in Friday night's quarterfinals at Bond Secure's Wellness Arena around 8:30 on the SEC Network. Kentucky will play the winner between number 6 Tennessee and number 11 Missouri or number 14 Ole Miss. The semifinals will take place Saturday night, and the championship game will be Sunday at 2 p.m. Kentucky sophomore guard Emmanuel Quickley was named the Southeastern Conference Co-Player of the Week on Monday after helping the Wildcats win their 49th SEC regular season crown last week. Arkansas Mason Jones shared the honor this week with Quickley. In winning back-to-back weeks, Quickley becomes the first Wildcat in history of the SEC Weekly Awards Player of the Week honors in consecutive weeks. He's the first player from any SEC team to do so since Tennessee's Admiral Schofield, who won two straight in December 2018. UK has five total SEC Player of the Week honors this season and eight total. In addition to Quickley's three SEC Player of the Week awards, Nick Richards has won it twice, and Tyrese Maxey is a three-time SEC Freshman of the Week winner. WKYT reports that Kentucky has dominated the weekly SEC awards under John Calipari with 100 total honors, including 83 Freshman of the Week honors and SEC Player of the Week awards. That's more than any other SEC school during the Calipari era. And finally, in sports this afternoon, longtime jockey Richard Gomez died Sunday after falling from his horse and getting trampled by another horse during a race in Tucson. Gomez was leading in the fifth race at the Rolito Park racetrack Sunday when his horse stumbled and he was thrown from the saddle. The Rolito Park Foundation reported Gomez was trampled by at least one trailing horse and taken to Banner University Medical Hospital, where he died from his injuries. Foundation President Jay Wells says the horse he was riding was not injured. The racetrack and the foundation are planning a celebration of Gomez's life this weekend. He was 66. Details of the celebration have not been released yet. And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Tom Martin.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Baseball hosts Belmont this weekend, and softball will host Dayton on Wednesday, March 11th. Also on March 11th, beach volleyball welcomes North Alabama. Tickets and more information from the Eagle Athletic Office at 783-2089 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. The Dow Industrial Average of 330 was down 642 points after rising more than 300 points earlier in the day. The 30 stock average gyrated between sharp gains and solid losses after the decision was announced that the Federal Reserve would lower interest rates by 0.5%. Investors loaded up on U.S. Treasuries, pushing the benchmark 10-year yield below 1% for the first time ever. Gold jumped 2.9% to $1,644.40 an ounce. If traders had already priced in a rate cut of 50 basis points by this month's policy meeting, according to many market watchers, bank shares fell broadly as the benchmark 10-year treasury yield did hit its record low, with Bank of America dropping more than 4.5%, while J.P. Morgan and Citigroup dropped over 3% respectively. The 10-year rate actually hit a low of 0.99%. President Trump has pressured Jay Powell, the Federal Reserve Chairman, to cut rates. After the Fed's announcement, the president actually tweeted that we must make further easing moves in order to prop up the economy in lieu of the coronavirus threat. Reporting from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird, this is offices of Robert W. Baird.
Support for MSPR comes from the Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University, providing classes for high-ability students, their parents, and their educators for more than 35 years. The Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University is now accepting applications for summer camps designed for academically gifted middle and high school students. More information online at wku.edu/gifted.
WMKY's spring fundraiser and membership drive is currently ongoing. We appreciate your support for our student work studies and local programming. Submit your gift today by using our secure online pledge form found on our website at WMKY.org under the Support Us tab, or you can give us a call. Right now, we have some students out there ready to take your call. 606-783-2001 is the number to call. It's so important that you become a member today, because it shows that you support your public radio station and that you support the educational journey of our student work studies. We want to take the time to thank you in advance for taking the time to make your pledge of support online at wmky.org or by giving us a call right now here live in the studio, 606-783-2001. And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Lori Likens, Wyatt Melton, Michael Green, Nacogdoches Miller, Cody Robinson, and Ty Martin. WUKY's Josh James, KNN's Will Clark, The Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Jonathan Burton and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.